Avalon is beautiful, and it is packed. The harbor's packed. And good morning. Welcome to everyone. Also to the ACC 10:30 service. There's an 8:30, a 10:30, and then we have a Hispanic church that goes on tonight at 6 o'clock. If you know people that need to get in here, invite them. This is where we serve Jesus, and this is where we worship Jesus, and this is where we talk about him. We have that freedom. Amen? This is it. My name is Pastor Andrew. Good morning. And I want to just talk about comfort for just a second. So who feels comfortable in here right now? Anyone? Anyone here feel comfortable? Okay, why? Just throw something at me. Padded seats. Okay. Comfort. Anyone else? Love of Jesus. What else? Community. What else? Okay, there's peace in here. Good. Any other aesthetic things? There's AC, baby. Yeah. And there's solar panels to speak of that are running this stuff. It's kind of cool. Anything else?
The presence of Jesus.
There you go. All right. We're feeling that. I mean, the house is packed. That means he's here. He's with us. He is the one people are drawing to. Amen. Anything else? Makes you feel comfortable this morning?
Love.
Love. Good. Very good. Yeah.
Friends.
Friends. To be able to do this together. Very good. Okay. You're with people you know. You don't have to think. You can relax. It's the Lord's Day.
They call it the day of rest, right?
Some of you are on vacation. You don't got to think, unless you got a boat that's leaving in 2 hours or something like that. I love this. Ladies, let me ask you a comfort question, okay? You would be more willing to admit this than guys. When you go to bed at night, is there a teddy bear or something, you know, pajamas or a special blanket that you would say, you have got to have that. It will help you settle in for the night. Scott has his hand up back there. Interesting. Anyone else? Okay. Guys aren't going to admit this, but I actually talked to a football. His name was Moonlight. I saw him at Descanso yesterday, and he admitted he has a special pillow. Big stud football player that played for Avalon a few years ago. Comfort.
I'm surprised he would admit that. Anybody here ever felt
comfortable being a Christian? Curious. What's a sign of being comfortable?
Guard is
down. What else?
Walking freely.
Okay, freely walking. Good. I love this, man. This is it.
This is great.
Assurance of your salvation.
Okay, there's a confidence. There's an assurance of your salvation. What else?
Relaxed in your environment.
Okay, comfortable. Relaxed in your environment. This is where I belong. I belong.
Good. Okay.
What's the downer to that?
Getting comfortable as a Christian. What's that?
Lazy.
Vulnerable.
Complacency. What's that?
Vulnerable.
Vulnerable, right? A little apathetic. So it works both ways, doesn't it? I had to examine that this week because Memorial Day can be probably the busiest day of the year for employers and employees on the island. And yet if you're on vacation, it's chill mode, right? I mean, it works both ways. And I think in terms of being comfortable, how does it work? Employers are like, oh, good, February's over. We start making our revenue meet, comfortable in the dollars and cents. And other people think, man, I'm on vacation. I needed this Memorial Day weekend just to get back to where I was. But looking at the life of Jesus, grab your outlines. You should have received something coming in. We're actually giving you something that, you know, it's kind of fun just to take notes. It actually helps send things into your memory a little bit better. If you need a pen, we can get you one of those. By the way, if you are a local here and you're trying to get plugged in, we've got some cards. Natalie's taking the time to print these out. They're beautiful. The ladies' ministry called Oasis. Men are kind of under the title Wild Men. Connection points for guys and ladies on the island to get plugged into small group, including Bible study. If you're visiting today, we'd love to know you're here. We'd love to be able to contact you again. This is what this looks like. You just say, hey, here's my name and my email so we don't lose track and we can actually follow up and thank you for coming. Okay. And if you're interested in joining our team, which four people did in the last week and a half, isn't that cool? Four people joined this team. This is how our needs look, and maybe you sink into that, and you're like, wow, man, I've got this. I can go down and join the children's ministry because they need a million people down there. That sort of thing, okay? Love to jump into the team. And you know what? As we dive into our outlines today, I want you to look at John 5. That's pretty much a very short passage in there. It could all fit on one. If not, we actually have it on the screen. We've also got Bibles everywhere. I put up here, once again, the display there are tons of Bibles. The NLT, the NIV, the KJV, and the Message Remix. Some of you have it on your phone, and you're actually going through the different versions on your phone. I think that's awesome, by the way. And I want you to dive in. This is where we get into God's love letter in the morning. And John 5, it's a fascinating event. I want to introduce you to a guy who's been very comfortable. I mean, to say the least. Also very sick. He'd been sick for a long time. Anybody know how long? Just kind of knowing the story? Yeah, exactly. 38 years, okay? And I look and see how, my gosh, what that would feel like, what that looked like. And I'm going to start in verse 3. It says this, okay? Crowds of sick people, the blind, the lame, paralyzed, lay on the porches. What were happening is there was this pool, okay? We have a couple of pictures here of the pool of Bethesda, and there was this pool area and these porches that kind of rolled right into the pool, five of them total. And this is what it looks like today. Do we have that picture of what it looks like today? So there you go, excavation's gone on. Anyone here been to the Holy Land? It's really cool. You visited that? Yes, yeah, usually one of the main stops. I've never gone. I would love to see this. This is the area. You can tell water was here, okay? Like a spa, so to speak. It was a very comfortable area for some people, but for others, it was anything but a spa, okay? It was just a place they needed to see what was in store for them there. We're going to get into it right now. But if you imagine this room in here, like this whole thing being like a pool, around this were the porches of sick people, and something happened in the water. The tradition was that the angel of God went down and stirred up the water, and the first person who was sick, who got into the water, okay, for whatever reason, whatever you needed, healing, you were lame or you were blind, you would be healed. First guy in the water. I'm not joking, okay? Then this word kind of spread that this was going on. The place was packed. The porches were packed. You saw the visual earlier, what it was like. Jesus just kind of cutting through this pool. People laying everywhere, okay? You know, no matter what your illness was, blind, paralyzed, lame, seventh grader trying to sneak into high school, whatever it is, whatever the person was, you would hang out around these porches, man. Jesus would occasionally cruise through there, and we caught him in this story. It's a quick glimpse. It's a short little passage here, but it, once again, is loaded for us this morning. And I love that. I love looking at the humanity of Jesus, where he walked, what he said, and what was going on around him, okay? We're diving into it. And when the water was stirred up, the Bible doesn't say how it was stirred up. It doesn't say if an angel came down with a big mixing spoon or just blew on the water. But when the water was stirred up, first person was healed. So you've got the scene, okay? Big pool, porches off to the side filled with sick people. Verse 5, look at it, okay? One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. That's a long time, okay? A few of us in this room that are over 38 years of age, that seems like a long time, doesn't it? Okay? When Jesus saw him and knew how long he had been ill, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" And that seems like a safe question, doesn't it?
Pretty safe.
You know, Jesus walking through this crowd, approaches the guy, been lame and sick or blind, whatever it may be, 38 years, comes up to him and says, "Do you want to get well?" Think of that question this morning. Think of that question. What would you like for me to do for you? Would you like to get well? Just take that. Settle into it. Bible doesn't tell us that Jesus did this with the other people. Doesn't say anything about it. Bible doesn't tell us much more other than he went to this one guy who he knew had been sick for a long time. Would you like to get well? Look at verse 7. I'm already looking at it here. The guy says this, "I can't, sir," the sick man said. "I have no one to help me get into the pool. When the water stirred up, I'm trying to get there. Someone always gets there ahead of me." You saw his excuse earlier on the screen. Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." And instantly, the man was healed. Get it? Okay, big picture event here. We all tracking? Okay, how many of you, show of hands, would say that this is a good thing that he ended up, okay? It ended in a tough way, okay? Anyone here say this is a good thing, the way this whole went? Okay, how many say this was kind of a good thing, seemed like it, but the way that it kind of ended up here was rough? Raise your hand. Anyone here? Okay. Yeah, I can go both ways. The man did what he was told. People saw the power of Jesus. All of it good. And I agree with you. But if I said to you, I read this and I see something literally wrong with this, can anybody guess what that might be? What might make this a bad event? Yeah. Okay. Didn't say yes. Didn't respond immediately. Anything else? Yeah. No assistance getting in the pool. What else? Okay, right. He's just there. Good. He didn't say thank you. I actually wrote that in my notes too.
It's just real quick, it's such an
interesting thing. But we have looked at people that have gone back to say thank you. Interesting comment, though, in regards to this. There's no one here. I'll never make it. Listen to his words. Every time I try, I'm taken out. Are you listening to this? I'm not reading into this. This is what it says. I have no one to help me into the pool. I mean, he is loaded here. He didn't say those things from just thinking of him at that moment. He has been living in that resignation. One of the things I think about as I read it, instantly, yeah, he was healed. He rolled up his mat and he began walking. If you read a little bit further, you know what this guy did? He walked literally away from the pool. He left the scene. Here he'd been with all these blind and sick, lame, paralyzed, hurting people all this time, and he picks up his stuff and literally walks right past all of them. 38 years hanging out with some of these people. And he just takes off. Pretty interesting. It says he picked up his mat, walked away. What if, you know, I just think, was it great that Jesus healed him? Absolutely. And that's where most of us sit and focus. For all the reasons you said, but think about this. This guy gets healed and he walks away. A miracle happened in his life. And instead of now him doing something with his changed life, maybe with people that were around the pool, he's gone. Claps. And he just, you know, this whole thing, maybe there's a crowd, okay? I want to do this for a second. I need to borrow a couple people because I think this will help with a visual. Reed, can I borrow you, Reed? Is that cool? Come up here. Daniel, can I borrow you for a second? Awesome, dude. Hey, thanks. Thanks for being flexible. Hustle up. Come on up here, man. Guys, thank you very much. Could you like, just both have a seat on that step right there? And so what's going to happen is this is the pool right here. All right. So get lame for a second. Perfect. Okay. So here's your pool right here. All right. And when I clap, that's the water being stirred. Okay. First guy here. Here we go. And you are healed. Okay. Daniel, sorry, you're gonna have to wait another year. All right. Thanks for playing. You're healed. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, next year. Okay? You get the idea? Year after year after year, the first guy in wins. Now you're tracking with me. 38 years of getting beat to the pool. Not a great track record, but think of why he would say what he said to Jesus. Simple illustration, not making fun at all. You get the picture here. This guy's answer to Jesus was straight up coming from, I'm sick of this whole thing. Are you like one of those other guys coming in here?
Fooling me?
Mocking me? You know,
that was a big deal.
In your notes, I put in your notes, it's a backdrop of what I want to talk to you today, and we're going to move quickly through this. But it's when miracles become mundane. It's in your notes. I'm not playing fun at this. This is a good visual. You just think, I feel bad for Daniel, because he was still sitting there.
Reed's just in the pool.
And when I think in terms of, can you imagine? There goes another guy. There goes another guy. There goes another opportunity. I put in your notes, one of the things, my fear, and not just in this room, is when miracles become boring. Like, who cares? Like, I'm getting worked. And fear sets in, not just in this room, and not just at this church, but with people who are Christians, literally walking through this town. I have the right to say that, because I'm one of them. Fear creeps into my life. I don't care if I'm a pastor. The enemy's there to work on me. Yeah, I'm not free of this. I've got to be on guard. I've got to be in battle mode. And sometimes I lay my sword down at the wrong time. And I get worked. And I start talking like, this will never happen. This will never work. No one will come. Whatever. If you're not a Christian, this is a good time for you to come and actually listen to this message of one of the fears that I have for Christians. It's the miracle, just, you know, if it just became so common, if miracles just became so common. Some of us here have lost sight of the miracles literally happening every day around us. And I'm looking out right now, seeing one, okay? Does anybody here wake up in the morning and all of a sudden, first thing in your mind is, all I've got to start thinking about is where I'm going to get oxygen from? Anybody here? Does anybody care? Probably not. I've got to look out for oxygen, okay? Nobody. You know, maybe the guy that's downtown that has to take his with him, you know, that parks at the foot of the Green Pier, that would be an issue, okay? I clearly understand that and agree. But for most of us, we've taken that for granted. We just get up and breathe. That's the way it happens. Take it for granted. I didn't think about oxygen until, you know, even this illustration. But many of us, when it comes to miracles, if we had the time, you know what I'd like to do? I like to go literally from one person to the next person in each one of these pews and then eventually to the chairs in the back and ask you for your story. This would take probably several days, if not weeks, to hear your story.
And one after another, the changes in your life, the miracles in your life and in mine.
And you know what that would be? A miracle, just listening to your story. I mean, even the fact that some of you are in church today, it's a miracle. That you really care about this message, that you're respecting God's word on the screen or in your lap right now. It's a miracle, okay? It's being taught the fact that you might be different. You're pushing through, just checking this out, but you're pushing through. It's a miracle.
Some of your friends and family would go, "You went to church? That's a miracle," okay? Yeah, all that stuff. What's happening here is that some of you are going to literally see the larger vision in this church. There are people here who have been providing. You know, there's things that happen in this church. There's ministries abroad. There's things even in this town. There are things that are needs next door in our mission house. Some people are going to reach into their checkbooks and say, "Hey, we're not going to go for the new car this year. We may wait a year, and we may wait 2 years, and I'm going to invest in the lives of the church body." That's a miracle. Some people would never, ever want to do anything with their money that might do something and invest in something. It's a risk. It's a risky move. Tithing in general,
risky move.
God doesn't want our money. He wants our hearts.
And for some people, that's too big of a risk. What's
going to
happen with this? Where is it going to go? There are miracles happening all the time. My fear is we don't see these things. More purpose-driven, healthy stuff is going on right now at this church, and the budget has never been tighter. Spiritual warfare is slamming the doors of this church, and I mean the church in general. Amen? It's a big deal. It's a big war, and it's never been greater. For those of you who have been around ACC, many of you, this is your church. And there are miracles happening all over the place. We just kind of go, "Oh, that's ACC." Somebody's blessed to go on the mission field out of nowhere, financially covered.
It's a miracle.
Sitting down with a guy in our church
body at a restaurant. I owed him dinner so many times. We finally hook up. He just got back
from a mission field in Papua New Guinea, and we sat down and And I was thinking of my budget and where we're at right now financially, my wife and I. But I knew I was investing in this guy's life. A total stranger sitting next to our table paid for our bill. This was Thursday night. I have no idea who these people were, and the server said they are not from Catalina Island. They looked up and they covered it. I'm not joking. How about that van sitting out there? Lest we forget. Almost $80,000. Free. And it's being used every week. Speaking the name of Jesus in the school system for one full year. We are celebrating Fellowship of Christian Athletes. They're busting the door down to come in. And some of you guys are providing food and lunches for these kids because they're giving up their lunchtime to hear the name Jesus. Because they can actually say it in this classroom. And there's teenagers that know that when they walk in the door, people are going to look at them and label them. And they don't give a rip. And they come. Because of Jesus. That's a miracle. Middle schoolers pack the place out. You know how high schoolers and middle schoolers are. We had to split them. There's a middle school group. There's a high school group. It's packed. It's a miracle. We would like to raise money and build our team and grow the outreach. Possibly even nurture an additional position for ministry to teenagers here. People are asking us if we can record the services here. You know, we need equipment. We need people to do that. That would be a miracle. Our children's department, it's growing again. I'm getting text messages from mom going, I want to stay for the service, but my kid only lasts about 45 minutes to an hour. Workers are hard to find downstairs. But the kids are there. They're coming. Amen. That's a miracle. And if we had more workers, that would be a miracle. So let's pray about it. The church is growing. And it's here. And it's
established. And it's been going on since 1889. And the same issues we deal today are the same that they dealt with for decades.
Amen? God's word is not returning void. We must recognize the miracles and act on them. We see them all the time. My fear of us is some of us are like, no big deal.
Somebody will get it done.
I can just cruise in and do my thing and check out. Somebody will do it. But as we explore the life of Jesus, when Jesus was around, he created all kinds of miracles, and some of them are still available to you and I to this day. And I don't want you to miss that. I don't want to miss that. I want to be a part of that. That same question that he asked the guy who had been there 38 years, do you want to get well? The same question. Exact same one. That I'm going to toss out there to you today. Because I've been beating my head with it all week long. I want to get well. I still got my fears. I still got stuff. I don't care my status. I'm human. And I deal with stuff. And I fight with stuff. And sometimes when I counsel with somebody, I get a transferal on me of stuff. I've got to know where I can go. I've got to know who cares about those things. I've got to look at him and say, comfort zone. It's easy to pursue comfort. Write that in. It's easy to pursue comfort. I have a feeling that guy who had been there sick for 38 years, who knows how long he'd been around the pool, but a lot of people think he'd been there literally just around a long time for Jesus simply to bring attention to him. Maybe that was the reason he had been there for that long, simply so Jesus could expose his power. Imagine how important real estate was for being around the pool. If you're the 19th guy back there, guess what? Okay? You're not getting in the pool. Think of the fight for the edge. So every time somebody would jump into the pool, a few people would jump into the pool. What's happening, okay?
As soon as one guy gets in, they all move their mats closer.
The rocks, everything. Everything moves in closer. It's like a checker game. Chess game. You want to be close to the pool. The closer you were, as soon as the angel stirred it up, even if you were lame, you still figured out a way to get there. Look at it carefully.
You know, if you're blind, it would be difficult. Hey, is the water stirred up? No. You're in the water. No, it's not. You know, if you're blind,
that'd be tough. But everybody else, it would be a fight. It'd be a dogfight. Imagine the scrapping and the pulling and people fighting to get in there. There was this feeling of being comfortable. In following Jesus, and I'm just going to say this. Some of you have read David Platt's book, dynamite book. Radical Anyone heard of that book? David Platt, good stuff. Jesus was radical. I mean, it's not comfortable. It's radical. If you want to be in the minority, you follow Jesus. When I go to this high school down here and I see all the little cliques and the little, you know, the little factions, little groups of people, what I love about high school students today is people don't want to be perceived as the same. Okay? But when I walk onto a campus, literally, everybody's wearing unique things and wanting to be different. Some will even tone their hair a certain way, you know, just to get looks. Jesus says, do you want to be different? Do you want to be radical? Follow me. And look at the lifestyle of Jesus and what it took to follow him. That's radical. There's nothing comfortable about that. It's not about feeling good, okay? It's not about comfort. Following Jesus isn't about you being comfortable. It's about living God's way. And this was hard, realizing I was being called into full-time Christian service. I didn't know how our mortgage was going to be paid. We had two vans. We had kids and medical bills. You guys are tracking with me, all that stuff. What happens when we jump off the cliff into ministry? Great verse. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children what? Begging for bread. God has provided. We're grateful. God has provided. But boy, there are those moments.
Right? It's never
comfortable. It shouldn't be. We have to realize who's in charge. It's a little bit like our spiritual journey, okay? And we're not going to share all of this in a, it's a real personal thing, but when was the last time you felt uncomfortable because you were a follower of Jesus? Just going to let that sink in for a second. When was the last time you were put on the spot? Somebody asked you if you're a Christian, you stepped up and you shared a little bit of your story. How long has it been? Think about it. Maybe you can't even remember. When did you last feel uncomfortable? If you haven't felt uncomfortable in a long time, that might be some indication of where you are in your spiritual journey. It's okay to ask that question. There is fruit at the end of that question. By not asking it, you just settle into mundane.
When was the last time you went, wow, that had to be God?
Okay. I remember teaching back in Florida, and we were in a service, and a massive lightning storm, it just seemed like every day, a massive lightning storm hit the building. The power went off, the fan came back on, the lights flickered, went off, the projector did its thing, everything froze, as far as on the screen goes. People were confused as to where we were. The boom that follows literally the flash of light, okay? Lightning capital of the world, where we're from in Tampa, Florida. Unbelievable distraction. And I just was like, this was absolutely the most difficult service. There is nothing that went right. I couldn't believe it. And then this young person walks up and says, let me introduce myself. I've been coming for a couple weeks. And I just want to tell you tonight, I felt God's presence. You know what I wanted to say? No, you didn't. That's what I want to say. No, you didn't, okay? God wasn't here. Can't you tell that everything was totally messed up today? I just wanted to say that. God found a way. He went right there. And through what I thought was just a total disaster, you know, man's plans and visions that tanked, God was moving. So be careful. Just when you want to go somewhere and get tanked or taken out, God may be right there, and the switch may go off for one of the biggest moments of your life. That's what God does. He shows up all the time. And a lot of times we don't even notice because we're comfortable. It's easy to pursue comfort, okay? Another thing, it's easy to make non-Christ-following excuses. Write that in. To make non-Christ-following excuses. That's a long word for just saying plain old complainer and just excuses. When miracles become mundane, you're not seeking or seeing them anymore. When you're not looking for them, it's easy to make excuses. Just keep from following Christ. All the false alarms on this guy. You know, Jerusalem High wasn't that far away. And when guys would walk to school with their backpacks, this wasn't, you know, this is way before PlayStation, Nintendo. And the most exciting thing was a public stoning.
Okay? where people would go and get stones, not with weed, but with rocks, okay? And they literally would gather them because someone did something bad, and they were going to take them out. And literally, if you got a stone that was too big, okay, that could be an issue simply because you really couldn't throw it.
If it was too small, it didn't hurt. So they would
load up their packs, and you find this thing, and you've got it in your backpack, and you're walking to Jerusalem High, and you look down, and you see this big pool,
okay? Ladies, you wouldn't think this, but guys, if you've got an awesome rock in your backpack and there's a pool down there, what are you going to do? You're going to throw the rock, all right? Guys are, and you know it. And false alarms, guys jumping in, you know? The mockery, the joking, people constantly playing games. Think, for 38 years this has been going on. And I beat that into the ground to say, man, you know, if you sit back and you realize why this guy was the way he was, but you look and see how Jesus cut right through it, and he says, I'm offering you life, man. A better life than you've ever dreamed of. I'm offering you a life to be healed. Don't settle. I know what you're thinking, but don't sit here and say, I can't. I'm talking to myself. Don't sit here and look at Jesus and say, I can't. There's nobody there to help me, okay? Everybody's throwing rocks in the pool. You know, all this stuff. You don't know how hard it is. I'm a single whatever. This has been going on. There have been other people like you and in your situation. Imagine for me, if just for a second, if God were to have a conversation with you. I love who you've become. Put your name there.
I love who you've become.
I love who I've created you to be. I have this dream for you that's so much greater than the
dream you have for yourself.
I love you more than you even love yourself. I've got a plan, and it actually is this direction. And if you follow it, there is life there, but I know that going through life as a person here, an islander, all the temptations, trying to fit in, all the different things, you're going to be tempted to go this way instead, okay? But I want you to know this direction
is the one I want you to go,
and it's going to be difficult to follow my ways, but if you do follow my ways, guess what? I've got plans, I've got dreams, I'm going to unfold them for you. You are going to see it. It's going to happen. The things that you want, I want. Hang in there. I'm the one who instilled that inside you. I've got this picture of what you're going to be like when you allow me to fully invade your life. And now I would say what? What would you say?
How about,
thanks, God. Thank you. And just
go that way.
Thanks that you want the very best for me. Thanks that following your way is tough. I'm going to be better for it. Not very many people around me want to do it. I don't have very many friends who actually, that I can follow in that direction. Just seems like it's always easier to go that way. And then you start thinking, you start talking. And I know that I could probably be spending time in your love letter. I know I could read it more.
But
I got other choices. I know it can help me find the right direction.
But there's so many great things I've seen on TV.
And it would be so natural to come up with all these excuses. Even though the momentum,
God says, is going this way.
We just start filling in the blanks. It's easy to make those Christ-following excuses when miracles become mundane. Francis Chan,
great comment. And
look and see his life and some of the things he said in regards to following Jesus and the excuses that are made. Just a great leader, but also a gentle-spirited man that speaks in regards to the excuses people have made. Anybody here heard of Francis Chan? Okay, yeah, young people especially. YouTube anything by him. Go for it, okay? Great guy. What fires you up?
Okay, when you see the lives and things happening around you, do you allow your life to be fired up?
Look at your outline. When miracles become mundane, it's easy to miss ministry opportunities. I said what I didn't like about this earlier, that when this guy was healed, the Bible says he walked away from the crowd. He picked up his mat, walked. How unbelievable would it have been that he just healed this guy, and on his way out, he stopped to say something encouraging to the other guys who he had been laying around with for 38 years. Dude, you got this. He's the man. Stick with it. Don't give up. Don't give up, man. I know, I'm out of here. But I'm not going to forget about you. I'm going to come visit, okay? I'm going to come visit. Hang in there. I know how it is. Listen, it'll be okay. How hard would it have been for him to do that on the way out? I don't see that in the story. Yeah, maybe I'm going a little bit far, but I'm going to throw that out here to Avalon and just say, if something's changed your life and my life, man, change somebody else's. Amen? Don't sit around. Don't just do your own thing. Totally committed. But you know what? We struggle in this area. The question I want to say today, once again, is do you want to get well? Because maybe there's something in your life that's become this weight and it weighs you down and sin is trapping you. Maybe you know Christ, but there's this thing that's in there and it's weighing you down in this area. God, I don't want to do this anymore. And you still end up doing it. You maybe hear those words today. God says, do you want to get well? And you hear those words. And if you're totally committed, you get rid of that weight. You let go of it. Or maybe today you're curious and you're just checking this out. You're looking around. You were never in your own faith. You've stepped across this line though today to say, God, I'll check this out. I'm going to go today. Some of you have just said in recent days, I want a relationship with you, God. You literally have said, I want this for myself. And he says, do you want to get well? And you pick up your mat and you literally follow Jesus. And maybe today is a simple answer in your heart and you just say, yes, I do. I want Jesus. I want to follow you. And it's a simple answer. And still others, maybe you've been checking this out for a long time and you've been watching others change. Others' lives around you change. You're not quite sure how they ended up the way they are, but there's something different about them. There's something different about their marriage. There's something different about maybe the way they act in the job, the workforce, your school, the way they treat others in the hallway, or the way they don't panic when they're signing up and enrolling for next semester. Let me tell you something. There is something different about them, and it's Jesus. And as you're checking this out, maybe you want to say this morning, I want that. I don't have all the angles. I don't have all the answers. I just want what that person's got. I just want it. And maybe today you hear that question, do you want to get well? Maybe you're not sold out. You're lukewarm. Maybe this has been a bunch of excuses about being comfortable in your sin for a long time. Great.
Change it.
Today's the day.
Do that today. Mark
on your calendar today, Memorial Day weekend, God showed up. And in my life, I paid attention. Something happened. It got my attention. And it'll never be the same again. And I'm so glad you're here. And I'm so glad that you're checking out this question. Great. Push through, persevere, and get resolution in your life. Literally, don't settle. Don't settle. Have something that'll change you. Second on your outline, I want to encourage you to identify your pool of hurt. Identify what's hurting. Who are the people that are hurting around you? Sometimes there's a lot of people in pain around you. It's hard to see others in pain, simply because they got everything going for them. They may even have the most incredible golf cart, or their situation looks good, their appearance looks good. They got it all together, but I'm going to let you know people are hurting on the inside. They just mask it in different ways. I'm darn good at it. Okay? I understand this, and this is a big deal, especially here. We have this Disneyland appearance going on the front street. But when you start diving into the lives of people and you start visiting the little places and pockets in our community, you will see there is work for Jesus to do. Amen? Yeah, and I'm one of them. I mean, I need it. My family's not perfect. We're not supposed to be. But we work on things as needs arise. And I would hope that that's the same for you. As you see something in your heart or your neighbor's heart, you'll cross that line. There's literally a seventh grader in our school who most kids cannot handle at all. Teachers have practically given up on this kid, even their administration. He's smart, and he's a smart aleck. And as a result, He is throwing stuff out there and little innuendos and smart. I mean, seventh grader. He's got quite a tongue. And there are kids, specifically one, that will draw into our FCA program, and he's not taking jack from this kid. And if he opens his mouth, he is just going to lay into him and call him what he really is. And I had to pull him aside one afternoon, and we went over and we had a quick talk, and I said, "Why do you think that young man was talking like that?" I looked at the one that was so mad and was giving him heck, and the first thing he said was, "Because he's stupid." I said, "No, you know why." And he got quiet. I said, "He's totally hurting, bro. He's totally hurting. And that's why he's got this mask on, to make things up so somebody might say, 'Hey, good work. Nice job. You're good.' Or whatever it is that bragging does that would bring just a little bit of attention to the kid's life." And this guy that I was talking to started to get it. Going, "You mean he's really not that way? That's a pose?" And I'm like, "Yeah, it's a pose. I want you to look at him with a different look. Like inside, there's something going on." And I was talking to an eighth grader about a seventh grader. And he got it. At least he looked like he got it. His parents are splitting up. So much anger and fighting in the house. Kid's totally lost. So he shows up at school like he's got it all together and just starts letting everybody have it. And kids get ticked. They don't respond the way they should. Occasionally you get that window. And as a teenage boy, I need somebody to pay attention to me. I got this going on. Since nobody is, I'm just going to make something up and make somebody at least pay attention to me and make them pay for all the hurt in my life. You guys tracking with me? Yeah. A lot of times what we do is kind of go through life saying, "That guy is so arrogant. What a jerk. He just pulled his dinghy boat in front of mine. I mean, he didn't even look. You know, yesterday I'm paddling the outrigger in, and this yacht, just guys just talking, you know, he's just cruising right in front of the outrigger. I can't turn. This is like turning an aircraft carrier. Didn't even look." And first thing I was like, "What a jerk." You know, it comes up in my mind. Can't say it. I'm a preacher. But anyway, I'm thinking it. "That guy is in so much pain." Or, "Oh my gosh, he's so insecure. Why can't he handle himself on the job?" He's insecure because he doesn't feel loved. He's in a lot of pain and he's in a pool of hurt. And these people are around us all the time. They look like they've got it together and they act cocky. You show me the cockiest guy in this room or on the campus down there, I'll show you one of the most insecure, hurting guys on the campus and in this town. Or gals. It's not just a guy thing. It's a male and female deal. I just love this movie. It just loads itself up. The Moana movie. This guy is so about himself, and his tattoos are so about himself, and he gets humbled, man. He gets a taste of humble pie, Lister little demigod guy, okay? Actually, if you look into his story, and I don't know if you've seen this movie, but pretty much three quarters of the way in the movie, anybody know what happened to him and why he's like this on the outside? What's his hurt? Yeah, his parents threw him in the ocean. Not a good way to start life, okay? They threw him in the ocean. Identify your pool of hurt. Who are these people around hurting you? I'm just painting a picture for you. Don't jump on me. I'm just trying to help you see that the people that seem like this is what's going on, look at them differently. They're quick to judge. They're quick to say things. But once you look in them and inside them and spend a few extra moments with them and genuinely love them, it's all going to come out. And I've heard it even trying to get a service up and running here that's new. I've heard it. And you will hear some of those things. And God loves all of us. And he does not want that for us. And God wants to turn around and he wants to say, "I want you whole. What can I do for you? Do you want to be whole? What have you been holding on to for 38 years? Pick this up and get moving. Look at your outline. I'm tired. I got to work. I got it this morning from kids I invited. I got to go everywhere." Stop making the excuses. Ditch them. Ditch the excuses. "I'm really busy. You don't understand. My grade, sports, I got a job. Man, I got four midterms. I got, my wife and I are getting along. I can't worship without her." I've heard it all. The reality is you don't want what you want to do. You really are fighting it. You want something, but you're not willing to give something else up. And when it comes to what's really important in your life, I'm just going to say it. You do what you want to do. I do what I want to do. I'm very selfish by nature. You've heard me repeatedly throughout this morning. Take responsibility for the same things. I'm human. And I'm just letting you know that even here, making it to a 10:30 service is hard for some people because of what they've been doing
all night
or what they've got to do during the day. I'm not feeling that great. I think I'll call in sick or, you know, whatever it is. Your faith matters. Jesus says to you today, you want to get well. I want to encourage you through prayer just to look God in the eye and imagine you being in that setting and say, yes, I do. Let's pray if we could. And if our band can come up. Let's pray together. And as we pray, I want to ask you that question. It's not Andrew's question, thank goodness. It's in God's love letter. I'm literally borrowing this question. If you're in a spirit of prayer, just listen to this. Do you want to get well? And if you're here today and totally committed to God, but there's something that's bringing you down, or someone who's bringing you down, you know that that is becoming a hurdle to your faith. And God says to you, do you want to get well? Can you just give that to Him and say, God, I need your help with this? If you're here today and you kind of came in as a curious seeker, someone wanting to check God out, maybe standing on the outside of Christianity and looking in, and you want to get into the game, you want a relationship with God, and He says, do you want to get well? Just right now in your heart, say yes. I want a relationship with you, God, and I don't fully understand it. Would you come into my life? Would you forgive me and of my past and my sins and this area and this junk where I've messed up? Would you forgive me of that? Help me start new today. And maybe you're here today and you've just been comfortable as a Christian. And it's time for your faith to get going again. Lay aside the excuses and the complaints and the building up of who you think you are. And Jesus says, do you want to get well? And you say, yeah, God, I want to stop being comfortable. I want to start living for you, taking risks. God, thank you that you hear our prayers. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you didn't call us to be comfortable. To follow you is a call to be radical. Thank you, God, as I talked about that dream you have for all of us. You know the plans you have for us, and they're good plans. And Lord, I pray that we might not make excuses to derail those plans, but to really follow your plans and your dreams for our life. We need your help. We can't do this on our own. And so may our lives be different as a result of being here today. In Jesus' name, amen.